Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's our delight to have you on board. Once again, as we face the issues, we invite you, our listener, to join in the dialogue and the discussion each day as we face the issues together. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is having a central biblicist worldview. Oftentimes, decisions are made. Issues are faced based on denominational dogma with the rites, rituals, and rules and regulations rather than simply looking at what does the Word of God say. So I encourage you each day as we face the issues to study the Word, know the Word, allow the Word of God to permeate your heart and life that you might have an answer, that you could give a reason for the hope that lies within you as the Scripture admonishes us to do so. Jesus himself said for the Christians that we're to be salt and light. Salt is not good if it's left in the shaker. It is not a preservative if it is left in the shaker. So therefore, as salt, we need to come out of the closet and be a preservative in society. As light, we're to come out of the darkness and illumine the darkened society in which we're living in. So we're talking about truth. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said that himself. Thy word is truth. He had already said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, as you tune in each day, we're delighted to have you on board. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That's our telephone number. It brings you right into the studios, right to our microphones. We can have dialogue and discussion together. We encourage each day, we encourage you to join in the discussion, the dialogue, ask your questions. By the way, you can ask theological, doctrinal, biblical questions. You can ask questions about the political arena in which we're in. You can ask questions about the home, the church, and our Christian life and what the Bible says. I'd love to have you join in any of the dialogue and discussions. Today we're going to be talking about, it's in question form. And the question is, did God create a mistake? Did God create a mistake? Perhaps you've never entertained it in that fashion. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in a culture today where what is normal is now abnormal. We live in a culture today where it's simply normal for the imperfect human being to say, I made a mistake. And that's true. It's easy for us to fumble the ball on a basketball court or to have a misjudged distance of a long pass on a football field. Most vehicle accidents take place as a result of a mistake behind the steering wheel. Every physician has the potentiality of making a mistake. He's capable of surgical error or a mistake in the medical practice that he's in. But is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, for God to have made a mistake? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, when the Scripture says God created male and female, created he them? Is it possible there was an error in his creation? The answer to that is no, 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 10,000 times no. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ mantra today is that God created them that way. Those living a sodomite lifestyle say that God made them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not make a mistake. The Bible clearly states that God created male and female. God didn't have to look down at his creation and say, oops, I goofed. I made an error. I made a mistake. God didn't have to do that. you look at the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, you find that each stage of God's creation, he said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. God didn't say I made a mistake. But ladies and gentlemen, we have those across the planet today, and those in what is called the progressive political field today, those that are, I call loose likes, lost liberals, that would have you to believe, would have me to believe that somehow, some way, God made a mistake. We find in one of the socialist democratic political candidates today, mayor from South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg. I think I'm pronouncing that name correct. I've heard it pronounced about 40 different ways. I call it Buttigieg. Is the person that's now claiming that God created him that way. He's claiming that God created him as a sodomite. You're listening to me correctly, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Buttigieg, the mayor, they call him benevolent. They call him Mayor Pete. He is the mayor of a small town in Indiana, about 100,000 people. He is being lauded because he talks so smoothly. The fake media is just ooing over him publicly, that after all, as they say, he speaks 7 different languages. He is a veteran that served in Afghanistan. He is a Rhodes Scholar, and they always point to that. Just in the first quarter, he's raised a little over $7 million in his campaign war chest. He now claims that if you question his sodomite lifestyle, you'll just have to complain, and he said, to my creator. In fact, here's an article that says, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, countercultural approach to Christianity is what America now needs. And it goes into great detail, ladies and gentlemen, about how devoted Christians on the left, hear that, the devoted Christians on the left, need to understand that the Christians on the right are quoting things and saying things that Jesus never intended and that Jesus never said. And he says, goes further to say that Christians on the right are not talking about the things that Jesus talked about most. And then he goes into the diatribe about feeding the poor. And he says that Jesus never said anything about abortion. So therefore, Christians on the right, as we're called by Pete Buttigieg, we're simply wrong. And he's talking about the need to have a more modern Christianity today. It's about a 5-page article on his diatribe. It's an interview done by Kristen Powers. Kristen Powers, by the way, formerly with Fox News, is now a left-wing liberal with the Communist Network News. She's a professing Christian, uber liberal. She did the interview. And as you read the article, you can understand that she sided with Pete Buttigieg on his overwhelmingly non-biblical, non-theologically correct arguments about who he is. And he says that if you want to do anything about it, you want to say anything about it. By the way, he's setting up the straw man right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's putting himself in a position that if he happens to become the socialist candidate, that he is trying to squelch any future arguments about his homosexual lifestyle. Here's an article that says, rising gay Democratic star Pete Buttigieg says that Christianity must move to a more inclusive vision to accommodate the LGBTQ community. Presidential candidate of South Bend, Indiana, Mayor Pete Buttigieg criticized the Vice President Mike Pence's version of Christianity when speaking with reporters. He said it's time to move toward a more humane version and vision of faith in the Christian community. Then the bulk of the article, let me just read you a paragraph or two. Gay Mayor Pete Buttigieg is on the warpath. The main target in his sights is Vice President Mike Pence. Right behind that is the biblical model of Christianity. Buttigieg says that it's time to move more on from the old model, move away from the old model to something that is more inclusive and humane. Why? Because the Bible is against the LGBTQ pedophile lifestyle. And Pete Buttigieg is happy to talk about needing to move away from that. In fact, this particular writer in this article says, what someone should tell Mayor Pete is that God did not make anyone gay, lesbian, transgender, anything such as that. Romans clearly tells us that those things are the result of sin. There needs to be a calling for the LGBTQ, the pedophile lifestyle, to repent and turn to Christ. And that is exactly correct, ladies and gentlemen. What we're finding today is the ooing and awing over a candidate that's brazen and bold enough to say publicly that he's married to a man. In fact, here's another article on the same subject. Buttigieg challenges Pence on the LGBTQ rights. With a quarrel, he says, your quarrel is with my creator. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Pete Buttigieg, married to a man, a sodomite of sodomites. He is now the rising star of the LGBTQ sodomite community in America. And he says, your quarrel is with my creator. The article then says, Buttigieg in a speech at the LGBTQ Victory Fund National Campaign brunch in Washington, D.C., referred to the vice president's less than welcoming attitude toward members of the LGBT community when discussing his marriage to his husband, Chastain. He called his marriage equality as a moral issue, saying his marriage of 2 years has made him a better human being, end quote. Open quote again. My marriage to Chastain has made me a better man. Yes, Mr. Vice President, it has moved me closer to God. He is a devout Episcopalian. Well, there should be no surprise there, ladies and gentlemen. Episcopalian denomination is absolutely fouled up, messed up, mixed up, antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth, fundamental foundational faith, or anything that the Word of God says. You may as well toss the Bible out of the Episcopalian pulpit and put in a daily newspaper or the latest news reel from the LGBTQ community. That's just me. You may disagree. That's your prerogative. If you don't like that, let's talk about it. You tell me why I've made an error in that judgment and statement. Telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about asking the question today in this issue, did God create a mistake? This article further says about Pete Buttigieg. I can tell you that me being gay was a choice. It was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade. He's saying God made him that way. He added to a room full of loud cheerers. And that's the thing I wish that Mike Pence's of the world would understand, that if you have a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel is with my creator. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't make a mistake. God did not create this Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg did not create him as a homosexual. It is a life's choice. It is a decision. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it is fundamentally flawed for anybody to think that somehow God made a mistake in his creation. He created man and he created woman. He didn't create him and him. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Buttigieg's husband is out there in the campaign trail too. Here's an article that says, America is ready for an authentic gay president. Stressing Americans' values of freedom, democracy, and security, the husband of Democratic 2020 candidate Pete Buttigieg told a human rights group Saturday that the nation is ready for the first gay president. Over the last 3 months of traveling through the countryside, meeting people from all walks of life, he says, and I quote, we discovered that people are united in protecting our values and freedom, democracy and security, especially freedom to live an authentic life, regardless of who you love or how you identify. Chastain Buttigieg told a Houston gala for the human rights campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, the articles are just proliferating out in the marketplace today in relationship to this. He's the rising star of the sodomite group. He is the head of the fan club for the LGBTQ community. He is also one that is being curried in favor and promoted by the fake news media. And I am surprised, he says here in one of these articles, if you had offered me a pill to make me straight, I would have swallowed it before you even gave me time to have a sip of water. It's hard to face the truth that there were times in my life when if you had shown me exactly what was inside me that made me gay, I would have cut it out with a knife, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a true indication there that at one point in time, he recognized his sin. He recognized his sodomite lifestyle was against God's will and God's way and God's word and wanted to do something about it. But sin has so calloused his life, he has so, if you please, cauterized his conscience that he no more feels that way. And it's in your face that we've got to embrace who he is. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to have a thought-provoking discussion, possibly with other callers and you, Dr. Youngblood. You know, ever since the fall in the garden, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, sin has progressed to deeper and deeper levels. So it's quite plausible that because of the effects of sin over the centuries,
thank you.
Maybe they do have that in them, that it was due to the fall, and not that God created something evil, but because of the sin, maybe it's possible they have actually been created that way. It doesn't mean we shouldn't discuss it with them and try to get them out of the lifestyle, but it's quite possible that it's inbred in them from the centuries of the fall, is it not?
No, absolutely not. Let me say this very definitively. You will not. You can take any sodomite you want to, cut him open if you put it in the callous sense. You'll not find any evidence of a queer DNA in that body. It doesn't exist. You will not find any such thing as saying there's a homosexual DNA sin. It is called S-I-N. Sin is sin. Sin is disobedience to the will, the way, and the word of God. Sin is what you find in Adam and Eve. When God said don't, they did. That's called sin. As a result of that sin, death passed upon all men, and all because all have sin. We find the only thing that can be done there is to recognize it's sin rather than approving of your sin and trying to force the world to embrace your sin, is to recognize it's sin, repent of the sin, and turn from it. It is the right. Only sin that God destroyed two cities. If God had placed the DNA of that sin in a human being, God would not have turned around then and destroyed two entire cities. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 and 25 so clearly states he would not have destroyed two cities and everything outlying around it had it been just a DNA problem that he placed there. God doesn't make an error.
Yeah, and besides Sodom and Gomorrah, it was Admah and Zeboiim, and Lot fled to Zoar. I agree with you. But what about the DNA regarding physical maladies over the centuries, the DNA and the RNA physical and mental, emotional maladies? Sin has infected that, has it not?
Sin has infected all of humanity. So to answer that very carte blanche, sin has infected and caused a deficiency in all of humanity. That is because of the progression of sin. Sin will continue to grow and fester until it destroys one's life and one's physicality. This is the reason in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it talks about the one that is living in a homosexual lifestyle, an immoral lifestyle, with a stepmother. And the Apostle Paul says, put him out. Let Satan destroy his body that his soul might be saved. Yes, that kind of sin is progressive, and it will destroy one's body.
But so the DNA and the RNA have been infected with maladies, correct?
Absolutely. You will find progression of that, but it has nothing to do with volitional choice. You might be born with one arm and four fingers on your on your foot rather than toes, but that is not part of the part and parcel of the fact of sin. Sin is a fact. The only cure for sin is Jesus Christ.
Yes. But if I may, the RNA and DNA have been affected with mental health diseases as well, and they're not physical. And I'm no apologist for homosexuality. It's definitely wrong, and it's a sin. But I'm just saying the RNA and DNA, mental health issues, schizophrenia, bipolar, et cetera, it's been affected with that, has it not?
Absolutely, but we're in an altogether different nuance of the word that we're talking about with the sin of the sexual dysphoria that's taking place today. It is, I have article after article and file after file after file of studies on the subject, and even the psychiatrists and psychologists that just 10 years ago were saying that there was a problem that could not be helped. Now they're coming out and saying it's a choice. As a result of that, professors are being fired, physicians are being fired, clinicians are being fired, those doing research and studies that have come to the forefront and says God created only two that genders, and that's male and female. He didn't have a crossbreed. He did not have any way where God created and made a mistake. He didn't have to say, oops, I made an error here.
Okay, good discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. I believe we have another call on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
thank you very much for the comment that you made. I think that what you hear from the homosexual community is what they want to do to alleviate their guilt and the shame that they have. Jesus never spoke about abortion. Jesus never spoke about homosexuality, because when you go through Numbers and Deuteronomy, it very specifically states that those are sins, and sins at that point in time that were to be, the person was to be put to death in one way, shape, or form. So it's sad that they embrace some parts of Christianity, and yet at the same point in time, we all are going to be judged. And that's the part that they forget, that there's a judgment, and you will be held accountable for everything that you've done in your life. But thank you for your message. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Recall. You're exactly right. That insight is absolutely on target biblically. Leviticus calls it an abomination. Romans chapter 1, verses 24-32 says that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. And that indicates there, and we'll read that in a moment, God turning them over to a reprobate mind means God has simply flung them out. He's released them. You made a choice. You made a decision. You want to live that way. You want to destroy your life. You want to corrode and corrupt your life. Do it. I'm going to turn you loose and let you have at it if you made that volitional decision. And there's a ton of folks out there today that in whatever sin it may be, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, list a whole list of 10 sins that if continued will send you to hell. And sodomy is one of them. The homosexual lifestyle is one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today as we face the issues, did God create a mistake? And the answer to that, based on the Word of God, the Bible, is no. But ladies and gentlemen, today our nation is rapidly going down a path that will lead to the moral, psychological, physiological, ethical corruption and ultimate destruction as a nation. Just as our last caller just stated, it brings about ultimate destruction. And ladies and gentlemen, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't just excuse it by saying God created me that way and God made a mistake. Yet God clearly condemns the sin of sodomy. It's not just a sin. It is the only sin in the Bible, in the entire Word of God, where God destroyed the two cities, wiped them off the face of the earth as a result of it. Had a gentleman just yesterday saying, Doc, I don't know what to do. When I talk with some people, they get in my face and say, well, you're just condemning sin, and that we're all sinners. We've all sinned, and therefore you're pointing that sin of sodomy and the homosexual lifestyle out and saying that you can't forgive it. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't forgive any sin. God does. And the only way God forgives sin is when the sin is recognized, confessed, and repented of. When the woman was caught in adultery in the biblical text, and she was brought before the Lord Jesus, He forgave her, but He said, go and sin no more. You can't say, God, I'm made this way, and I'm going to thumb my nose in your face because you made an error. That's not what God's Word says at all. In fact, the Scripture is very clear, and I recite it again. Genesis 19, verse 24 and 25. It's as a result of the Sodomite lifestyle, they permeated the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. They wanted the men to come out. When they saw the men come into the city, the Sodomites, young and old, surrounded Lot's house and said, send them out that we might know them. That's euphemism for saying we want to have sex with them. And God destroyed both cities. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, a person that is confused over his gender, that's called gender dysphoria, or claims that God made him that way, must seek God's forgiveness and repent, the Bible says, or he's going to a devil's hell. There's no question about it. There's no way to get around it. In fact, when you look at, I said a moment ago, the text in Genesis, in 1 Corinthians, that is, chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it talks about those, I call it the no-fly list, those that God rejects and God says he's going to send to hell. The fornicators, the idolaters, the adulterers, the effeminate, the abusers of self with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, the whole list, ladies and gentlemen. There's 10 lists. There's 10 in that list. And unless they're confessed of and repented, yes, a sodomite can go to heaven if he confesses his sin and repents of it. Otherwise, he'll die and burn in hell. We had that on our marquee on one occasion. It says that sodomites are going to die and go to hell unless they repent. It gave the Scripture reference. The local media went bonkers. They were out here videotaping that, banging on the door, wanting an interview. Why do you say that? I say it because the Word of God says it. The Word of God says it. That settles it, whether anybody likes it or not. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, what you're saying, the original sin was in the Garden of Eden. And some denominations believe that we're going to evangelize the world. It's all going to be nicey-nicey. But that is not, according to Scripture, that's not the truth. It's going to get, and I'm asking you, won't it get worse and worse till the stench reaches to heaven, to God's nostrils? Then
absolutely.
He will say
it will get worse and worse unless salt and light takes a stand. And as we find it, for example, Nadler, the, how would you say, the loose left, lost liberal in Washington, he and Nancy Pelosi postulated a bill that's going to criminalize Christians if the bill passes. It's on the fast track. It is called the Equality Proposal. It's Equality Act that they're proposing. And Nadler says that there'll be no excuse for religious discrimination. Saying, in other words, if you look at the bill and the wording of the bill, once the bill passes, if a Christian says anything, as I'm saying now on this broadcast, if a Christian says anything publicly or privately about the sodomite lifestyle, about those in that lifestyle, the LGBTQ community, then you'll be committing a federal crime. And that's on the fast track right now. And as a result of that, Dr. James Dobson says it is a very, very dark day that we're headed toward. Dr. Dobson says, make no mistake, the so-called Equality Act is nothing but a thinly veiled attempt to finish off religious liberty in America once and for all, which ought to be plainly obvious because based upon the cursory reading of the First Amendment. He goes further and talks about Jerry Nadler and Julia Beck gave surprising testimonies at today's House Judiciary Committee hearing confirming that the so-called Equality Act has nothing to do with equality, and Liberty Council Chairman Matt Staver, this bill pushes the LGBTQ agenda on all people and targets Christians in every area of life, including the church. So you're exactly right. It'll get worse and worse, not better and better. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be concerned about is to recognize our responsibility to be watchmen on the wall. We have silence from the pulpit, silence from the so-called conservative politicians, silence from most parents today. The Pandora's box is open in every city, every state, all want to be viewed as being politically correct. Even the 4-H Club now want to be politically correct. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, they're pushing this. Here's the article says the 4-H Club adopts California LGBTQ policies. Last year, the Iowa 4-H Club director was fired for planning to implement LGBTQ policies. And now a similar plan has been exposed in the Ohio program. Liberty Council charges Ohio State University, which runs the state's 4-H program, brought its Office of Cooperation Extension, is stealthily promoting LGBTQ ideology in the 4-H Club. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to our schools. You can go to many organizations like that, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the 4-H Club, etc. They have been absolutely invaded and now permeated with the sodomite lifestyle and the demand to embrace it. And one of the things that makes it so sad is you find some churches falling for that ideology. Here's an article that says Christian church tell kids Jesus was queer. Perhaps they've never read the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus where the Bible says homosexual relations are an abomination. Or maybe they missed the book of Genesis, which describes God's firebomb destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah for those ancient cities' wicked sins. With homosexual gang rape specifically mentioned, because now a division of the church in that particular area, which tells it is a Protestant, has created an LGBTQ survival guide for Christian queer kids that claim Jesus was a queer. Ladies and gentlemen, we plummeted to the bottom of the bucket. The only hope is for us to recognize that the responsibility comes from we as believers. We need to be on the wall as watchmen, warning, screaming with a deep voice that there's danger ahead, warning the world, warning the nation, our church, our schools, our homes, our families. We ought to demand that we have the conservative politicians going in office, and we should be the ones in control and leading them and not saying that they are our leaders in the sense that we can do nothing about it. If there's decay in society today, the pulpit is responsible for it, and the Christian home, the Christian family, the Christian parent, the Christian church is responsible for being the watchman on the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not create a mistake. God made male and female, and in that order, and ladies and gentlemen, we need to reject anything that says that we need to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.